Hi, it's Rich Tarani, TMCNet, and today we've got a TMC podcast, and with us on our show is Wes Durow, who is the VP of Nortel's Enterprise Solutions business, and today's date happens to be 09-09-09, and it's 2:24 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm located in Connecticut, and Wes, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being on our program. Where are you out of today?
I'm actually located in Dallas, Texas, so football season is upon us, so nothing could be better than to be in Texas this time of year.
Absolutely, and I was just down there, I think it was maybe 6 weeks ago, where I had a chance to see some pretty amazing healthcare solutions, and that, I think, was the reason that we decided to have a follow-on conversation in terms of what your company is doing in this space.
Yeah, that's great. You know, the healthcare activities are really, really core to what's happening across, really across the globe. You know, there's about $48 billion just set aside in the go forward budget from a U.S. perspective, just addressing the gaps in healthcare, and particularly on how electronic records can help, how improvements in communications can help an industry that frankly, when you think about it. Is built on thousands of year-old tools and is still managed through handwritten notes. And here we are, the richest country on the planet. And if you look beyond that to the developed nations, we've got a real challenge to overcome from a healthcare perspective. So the role we play in communications, the role that Nortel plays specifically, we've been very focused on this segment and what we can do to really change the outlook and going forward.
And there's been so much spending in terms of U.S. Stimulus injections going into this market, and I'm curious if you think that technology is going to be something that helps healthcare become more efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at today where we stand, I'll keep using U.S. examples, not quite so similar in all the other kind of developed nations, but in the U.S., we've gone in the past 25 years from spending about $1 in $20 out of each of our wallets on healthcare to spending $1 in $6 today, and it's moving towards $1 in $4, and that is a really substantial impact in terms of our spending power, our capabilities as an economy. Certainly, we've got an aging population, and how do you overcome that? Well, you look at some fundamental challenges today. A nurse, every hour of an 8-hour shift that a nurse spends. Is spent just trying to find the right equipment to get it to the right patient at the right time. Well, how do you overcome that, particularly in an environment where you've got, a shortage of 500,000 nurses? And that's really what we're trying to address.
That's great. Now, we've got big issues on the healthcare front. On the one hand, we're trying to make it more cost-effective. We're trying to make it better, more streamlined, et cetera. Then on the other hand, we've got the swine flu pandemic that I think it has an acronym now, like everything else in telecom. We seem to have acronyms spreading throughout the world. Is it H1N1, I believe, is the name of this flu?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so do you think that there's going to be any role for technology in helping with controlling or just managing with swine flu?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a couple different dimensions. The H1N1 flu is the first global flu pandemic that's been declared in 41 years. So it is a pretty significant healthcare challenge. We've got customers, we've got a partnership with British Telecom, for example, where we support the UK Department of Health with a flu line, which has more than 1,500 temporary call center agents, corresponding website access, IVR solutions, all to help constituents deal with the flu and core questions and where to get help and where to get treatment. We're seeing that absolutely. We've built, using existing technologies, a number of solutions that allow for remote access, so people can work from home effectively and help really prevent additional exposure to the swine flu or unnecessary spread. And myself personally was chaperoning a group of kids as part of an outside engagement over the summer, and we had half of our group come down with the swine flu. We actually used much of the technology just to get in contact with the other parents and other healthcare officials through this process. So you know, clearly communications, effective communication is going to play a key role in containing and managing the swine flu epidemic. And then you tie that back to effective use of medical records, ability to get to the right person at the right time with the right information quickly. And those are the other core things we're doing across healthcare. It'll have a really, I believe, a profound impact in this segment.
Well, it's great to see that technology is affecting the world in such a positive way. I'm happy to be involved in an industry that's helping the world cope with threats, and let's hope that it also reduces the amount of people getting sick at the same time.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, that's just one where it's a reactionary type scenario, Rich, but, where we're focused is how do we move to a proactive scenario. You look again at the U.S., you've got 24 countries in the world that have longer life expectancy than the U.S. You've got 34 countries in the world that have lower infant mortality rates than the U.S. Here we are, healthcare is a $2.4 trillion industry in our world, in the U.S., and yet, the richest country in the world, and yet, you know, we put up with we found ourselves in a situation where this industry has to be rebuilt. We've got doctors that are committed to this, nurses, the entire segment is committed to this, and we've worked across with them very directly. They're the ones that are challenging us to make many of the changes. And so the things that you'll see from Nortel and the things you see very directly is, again, how do you make sure that you have the right staff caring for the right patient with the right information at the right time? So if you come to, if you come to a hospital and you're in need of emergency care, how do I make sure that I have a nurse that is specifically cares for pediatric fractures versus a nurse that cares for geriatric patients or what have you, and that they get the right radiology equipment to that person? And then once they get the X-ray made, how do they get it to the right staff physician at an appropriate amount of time so it decreases patient wait time?
And those this sounds a lot like skills-based routing in the call center, doesn't it?
That's exactly what it is, and we're using that technology, and we're in a point in time where the costs and the approach have become cost-effective, and that's exactly what we're doing. And on the flip side, getting patients out of a hospital. Today, on average, it takes 7 people have to sign a patient out of a hospital. It's about an 8-hour process on average. Well, we've got that down to less than 4 hours, and we've had, again, our customers working with us to speed that up. And everybody knows you heal faster at home. But what the other flip side of that is again, in the U.S., a hospital bed is worth $2 million a year. And the impact on the system in terms of people needing these beds is growing. And so the difference between turning over that bed 4 hours faster can be the difference in raising capital for a new hospital wing or being able to make do with the existing facilities.
So, Wes, let's see if I understand this correctly. Generally speaking, in a corporation, some of the least paid workers in some cases are contact center agents, and not to say anything bad about contact center agents, but generally they tend to be on the lower end of the pay scale. And the contact center industry and corporations in general have spent hundreds of millions of dollars over the last few decades to implement skills-based routing via technology providers such as yourselves and others to make their businesses more efficient so contact centers can become more efficient. And what you're saying is that in the hospital industry, in the medical industry, where some of the people are the highest paid, we're not doing the same thing. We're running very inefficiently, and so we subsequently have a tremendous opportunity to apply the technologies from the contact center and other areas into the medical industry.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you look at it, the amount of time a doctor or radiologist actually spends with a patient, particularly in a managed care environment, is limited, and that's one of the biggest frustrations that these folks have. And so taking, like you said, the best of what we've done, particularly in the contact center agent space, and devoting it to this space and using different apertures, whether it be a mobile phone or a secure mobile device, whether it be a specific laptop that's built for a medical environment, and really driving communications through at an activity basis. So, you know, if if one action happens, boom, you've got the next action that happens immediately in place. And if somebody can't help serve that action, it goes on to the next person in the queue. And so taking the best of what you've just described, applying to this segment, we're seeing already has had dramatic results.
Awesome. Now, we're talking here now about things that will save money. I guess as hospitals have to deal with staffing issues, do the technologies that we're describing help the medical industry with staffing as well as challenges in improving their quality of care?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are a couple things. Again, I pointed out earlier that when you think about an 8-hour shift, and a nurse, if you look at some of the time motion studies, spends on average 60 minutes of that shift just looking for missing equipment. You know, that's a substantial savings in and of itself in a segment where you've got really scarce skills and nurses want to spend more time. And we can go into other examples with other care providers along that space. And you talk about other places to reduce costs. I mean, with the advance of RFID technology and the ability to smart enable those with communications capabilities along the way, you know, asset tracking and management and getting, again, the right equipment to the right place at the right time for the right patients, you know, we've seen up to 40% reductions in loss and theft. We've seen 10% reductions in inventory. And we've seen, you know, 25% or more reductions in rental costs. So these are hard numbers that you can take to a CFO, COO. And then you talk about, you know, what does this mean for patient care? Well, when you think about rapid team formation, I gave the example earlier. Somebody comes into the ER, and let's say it's a young child, and they have a fracture, and they need assistance. Well, you know, that's probably a not substantially trying scenario. But if somebody comes in with a heart attack or a bad car accident, doing dynamic team formation, getting, again, the right people to the right location in kind of reinventing how Code Blue type activations happen, we have seen, you know, up to a 35% increase in terms of the probability of saving a life at this point in time through these type of technologies.
Wow, that's staggering. That's fantastic to hear that, wow, technology is making the medical industry more productive, helping save money and increasing the quality of care and saving lives. Wow, so that's fantastic to see this happening. I'm surprised we haven't implemented more technology into the medical industry before. It's not to say that it's devoid of technology. It's just it seems like the processes have a way to go before they get up to speed, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think actually we've hit a tipping point. I think, what has been a murmur has evolved into a roar. And, you know, I think not just Nortel, I think we, all of us in the technology industry, we have a real role that we can play here, not only just for the good of commerce, but frankly for the good of our society. Something has to be done. A change has to take place. We have the resources at our hands from a technology standpoint to really shape and shift and change the type of care we receive. And like I said, you know, improve the patient workflows, improve how we use the assets of the business, and ultimately improve care while at the same time reducing costs. So, we're excited about this opportunity as much from what it means for the end user as it is, you know, just smart business for us.
That's great. Now, I'm curious about specific examples that you may have. You cited some numbers of savings and some of the things that are happening in terms of just the general healthcare industry, but I'm curious if you could give our listeners some ideas of specific things you're doing with healthcare providers and maybe some of the latest technology tools you'll expect to see providers deploying in the future.
Yeah, I think the one that is most readily apparent, you could see this in terms of checking into a hospital, but certainly checking out. The patient discharge example I gave you before is probably just the simplest way to see, gosh, how do I get the right information to the right person at the right time, and how does that translate into bottom line revenue increase? When you think about a process, like I said, that requires 7 signatures today, so whether it's a physician, whether it's a nurse attendant, whether it's a physical therapist, whether it's a pharmacist, on average, the checkout process, discharge process today requires 7 signatures. Now, those folks are all in other locations. They're caring for other patients. They may be off-site. And to get through that process has typically taken 8 hours. Reducing that process to less than 4 hours. You know, on average for a typical hospital, we've seen that drive another $10 million in terms of revenue increase. And how does that happen? Well, again, you know, by saying, hey, we've got patient John Doe who's ready to be discharged. He's your patient. You know, click yes to approve. Click no if you've got more questions. And then that gets routed to the right person that's got, you know, the information on that patient, or if you've got want to have a follow-up question, you know, check his temperature or make sure that how is he responding to this medication. Being able to do that in a timely fashion through unified communications technologies, skills-based routing technologies that are now at a cost-efficient point, now at a place where we can deploy them across multiple technologies through open standards, you know, didn't exist to the same degree 2 years ago. It just was cost prohibitive. And so when you think about that, you know, reducing that discharge time from 8 hours to less than 4 hours and saving a hospital, you know, more than $10 million on average for a typical deployment, the business case for this becomes, you know, really quick. And then think about, you know, how a hospital differentiates on care. That's what it's all about. You see all the patient rankings and those sorts of things. You know, patients want to be home. That's where they get healthy and has just a really specific difference. So that's probably the single best example that our customers are gravitating towards pretty dramatically.
Wow, Wes, this is great stuff, and I've certainly learned a lot, and I'm sure the listeners have as well. If people are interested in learning more, what do they do?
You know, visit nortel.com and, you know, take a look at our solutions tab for healthcare. We've been fortunate enough that, you know, our solutions have been featured in national press and NBC and others, and so this is a segment that, you know, we're excited about, but we're also looking for feedback. So if we're missing ideas, I encourage your listeners to keep pushing us along the way. That's how we've gotten to where we are.
Well, much appreciated, Wes. This was great. Thanks for being on the program today, and good luck with deploying technology to hospitals worldwide.
Thank you very much, Rich.